We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Florio writing any articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Let's talk football with Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And Mike, we have our Super Bowl combatants. And I have to tell you, just not having the Patriots involved, it was a 3 in a row and 4 out of 5. And to be without that sort of heavy sense, the gravity they always bring, the history they always bring, this is refreshing. Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely. Look, this is the kind of thing that the NFL loves. I remember back in the 70s, Commissioner Pete Rozelle hated the fact that it was the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Raiders over and over and over again. And the fact that a team that was 4-12 last year in the 49ers is in the Super Bowl this year, that's the kind of thing that helps the NFL sell hope to every fan of every team. You're just one offseason away from reversing your fortunes dramatically, and that's what they want people to believe, even for the teams where it is objectively unbelievable, like the Browns or other really bad teams. The 49ers were almost as bad as it could get a year ago, and they've turned it around quickly.
What do you make of some of the consequences, the potential consequences for teams that flamed out in these playoffs? I'm looking at the Matt LaFleur press conference this morning. He was asked if Mike Pettine, his defensive coordinator, is coming back. His response was, "We're not there yet. We're still working through everything." There's the way Bill O'Brien lost his game. He still retains total control of that franchise. Should there be consequences like this for one game like that?
Well, I don't think it's one game that causes it to happen. It's one game that creates the opportunity for it to happen. You know, in Seattle, they had the necessity to make some major changes a couple of years ago, but they kept making the playoffs every year and they never made the major changes. It took a year of not making the playoffs to give them the opening to do what they needed to do. And I'd say if a change is needed at defensive coordinator in Green Bay, then it's not something that just manifested itself in one game. I also wouldn't be surprised if Matt LaFleur sees an opportunity to get Wade Phillips, who's dangling around out there. And if Wade Phillips had been available a year ago, Matt LaFleur may have hired him in the first place. So I think that may be part of it as well, the opportunity to upgrade your staff. But, the defense was good at times for the Packers this year. But, yeah, when you run into a brick wall and it feels like your defense has no answers for a running game that should be able, in theory, to be neutralized some way, somehow, and you knew what you were getting into and you knew what they do and you can't stop it, then some of that does blow back against the defensive coordinator.
I heard the Wade Phillips noise, and not for nothing, I went to the school, but I know some people who have thrown the name around. Do you hear Jim Leonard's name mentioned for DC jobs in the NFL?
You know, he's a guy who was like on that rising star list, and then it's subsided in recent years. It really is amazing how guys land on the radar screen as hot candidates, and then they kind of slide off, and then they're back, and then they slide off. But that's one that I've heard from time to time as well, in recent years. But it doesn't have the same cachet that it had a handful of years ago.
What domino falls first that starts the propagation of quarterback moves in what we know is going to be a volatile, unstable quarterback market from top to bottom, from young quarterbacks to veterans across the board?
I think that the first one is going to be Brady knowing whether or not the Patriots will bring him back or he will sign a contract. I just feel like that announcement is the first step if he doesn't go back. And I think right now, if I had to bet, I'd say he's not going back. But I think that's the one that, number one, gets everyone's attention, because right now it's not quite Peyton Manning in 2012, because in 2012, we all assumed the Colts weren't bringing him back. He had the neck issue. They had the first overall pick. They were taking Andrew Luck. They weren't going to bring back Peyton Manning. With Brady, there's still people who maybe haven't been paying close attention to it, who haven't realized there's a damn good chance he's not coming back. Once it gets out that he's not coming back, once there's an announcement or a decision, I think that's when everybody kind of says, holy crap. And then that's when this carousel spins with a lot of veteran quarterbacks available, a lot of guys who aren't unrestricted free agents, but could be available, whether it's Andy Dalton or Cam Newton, or is someone going to make a run at Taysom Hill, who's a restricted free agent of the New Orleans Saints, if they keep Drew Brees. There's a lot of different ways that this offseason is going to go, but I think that it officially begins once the Patriots inform Brady that they're not bringing him back, or Brady informs the Patriots he's not coming back, or basically a mutual announcement. And I think that's what it would be, some sort of a mutual statement that both sides have decided to move on.
Similar to the way the Peyton Manning era ended in Indy?
Yeah, right, exactly. But it was more like it just was inevitable then. They fired the coach. They fired the GM. Peyton Manning was beside himself. Everything was different. They're going to draft Andrew Luck. We knew by now what was coming. Right now, we don't know what's coming. And I really do think the next step will be either a contract that keeps Tom Brady in New England or a joint statement from both sides where everybody says all the right things and they profess undying love for each other indefinitely. But the message is Tom Brady's moving on and the Patriots are moving on, because it's not just Brady's next destination. New England then becomes a player in this veteran quarterback game of musical chairs. You know, people assume Jared Stidham becomes the next quarterback of the Patriots. Why would you do that when you've got plenty of other alternatives out there, guys that they could pursue, like a Teddy Bridgewater, who was 5-0 as a starter. Cam Newton, if he's available, he's 2-0 lifetime against the Patriots. I mentioned Taysom Hill. Wouldn't it be fascinating to see him on the Patriots? You know, they have always struggled with mobile quarterbacks, but they haven't had a mobile quarterback. They haven't needed one because Tom Brady's been so good. Without Brady, do they go in the direction of a guy who can make things happen with his legs as well as his arm? I mean, the Patriots angle to the Brady future is every bit as fascinating as the Brady angle, because I don't think it's just going to be next man up on the Patriots depth chart.
I think the quarterbacks in this free agent class and then the subsequent draft are fascinating, because you can draw a line from the Tom Brady decision to what the Bengals are going to choose to do with the first overall pick. Because of the way the top 10 or top 15 rather is set, you've got the Chargers, who I don't think are as bad as at 5-11. The Panthers, the same kind of situation. You've got the Colts at 13. There are moves within moves here. And if the Bengals are or are not taking Burrow at number one overall and instead try to move down, then you've got, you know, dominoes that fall all the way through with teams that could just grab the next get-me-through quarterback as opposed to drafting and resetting for future.
Well, and you've got two waves of it, right? You've got the free agent moves that are going to happen in March, and by the contracts that are given out to these quarterbacks, you'll know whether or not your guy is going to be the quarterback or whether he's the Mike Glennon to the Mitch Trubisky that gets drafted by the team. And that's why I think a guy like Philip Rivers, I don't think he's going to find a landing spot, because I think any offer he gets is going to be of a financial magnitude where he knows he may get supplanted by whoever gets drafted in late April. But yeah, there's a lot of moving parts here. There's a lot of tentacles. This can go a lot of way, and we could see the fabric of the league get really ripped apart from the standpoint of quarterbacks matched up with this team, that team, that team. And Brady, I think, is the epicenter of all of that movement and activity.
If all that movement happens, do you see that as being good for the league?
Yes, I think it's absolutely good for the league. Now, you know, it's not being driven by that sense that players are taking over like NBA players can. It's just it's the natural consequence of older quarterbacks who may want too much money, and who currently are under contract with teams that are looking around the league and seeing all these great young quarterbacks that all these other teams have, and they're thinking, I want to get mine, right? How much longer do I hang on to Philip Rivers when I know I can go get a much younger guy who maybe is a much greater potential star in LA? The Patriots, they're constantly bedeviled by running quarterbacks. When do we get ours? We've seen Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. And I think for some of these teams, there's that urgency to go get a younger guy. And maybe the middle ground is find a veteran who's younger than the guy you have, who's a stopgap for a couple of years while you wait for your Mahomes, Jackson, et cetera, to come along.
what's meaningful to you in staff construction season when guys move from team to team? Just got word the Jaguars are hiring Jay Gruden to run their offense. It looks like Freddie Kitchens reportedly is going to land on Joe Judge's staff in New York along with Jason Garrett, where it could just be exchanges of names that end up a net zero. When do you know that one of these moves matters?
Well, it matters when the coach's background is on the other side of the ball than the guy that he's hired, or when it's a Joe Judge, who's a special teams coach that had a mild enhancement to his resume of receivers coach for one season. You know, Jason Garrett's got more juice in that setting, and he's going to have more potential influence. And also when you've got cross-pollination in the same division. I mean, the idea that Jason Garrett goes from the Cowboys to the Giants, I mean, that's beautiful. You got to love that kind of stuff. So when you have a former coach of a team who ends up as a coordinator with another team in the division, that's interesting. When the coordinator is operating on the side of the ball that the head coach isn't an expert in, that's more relevant. That guy has more juice. I mean, you know, Bill Lazor being the offense coordinator of the Bears, who cares? Matt Nagy runs the offense. Pat Shurmur being offensive coordinator of the Broncos, hey, that's significant because Vic Fangio is in charge of the defense. So I think it's all case by case based on the relationships between the new assistant coach and his former gig, and also how much juice that guy's going to have in his new spot.
Mike, we can take an informal poll of all of our NFL experts as we get closer and closer to Chiefs and Niners. How many points would the Chiefs have to be down at halftime for you to write them out of that game?
Here's the thing. If the 49ers running game is working, they will be up early. And if their running game is working, it's not going to stop. You know, the Chiefs were down 24, they came back against the Texans. They were down 10 points two different times, they came back. And they were ahead at halftime in both of those games. I think, and I personally believe that when Raheem Mostert took that 3rd-and-8 trap play to the end zone against the Packers, it's like, that's it, it's done. Thanks for playing, Packers, it's over. I feel like if the 49ers can shred the Chiefs the way that they've shredded everyone else on the ground, if they can do that right out of the gates, I think 7-0 may be too much for the Chiefs to overcome. And I think really the challenge for the 49ers, I believe firmly, is going to be hold the ball as long as you can, shorten the game, reduce the number of drives that the Chiefs have, and create a situation where every time Patrick Mahomes is on the field, he feels a greater sense of urgency and a greater sense of pressure to do something because he's not going to have as many chances as he did against the Texans or the Titans. And to me, and this is where the brilliance of Kyle Shanahan comes through. He's not so smart that he tries to outsmart himself. He understands, if it works, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not going to run to set up a play-action pass from the 45-yard line that I throw to the end zone for a quick touchdown. If I'm running and they're not stopping it, I'm going to keep running, and I'm going to keep running, and I'm going to keep running. Fewer things can go wrong, and I can control the game, shorten the game, and keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. That's the only way you can stop him, is to keep him off the field. So that's why I think if the running game is working, it's almost like a Vikings game where you know right away whether or not they're going to be able to move the ball and score points. You're going to know right away whether or not the 49ers can or can't run the ball against the Chiefs. And then if they can't, that's when it gets interesting. That's when the passing game has to try to match the Chiefs, and that's when it becomes much, much harder for the 49ers to win.
Mike, lastly and real quickly, I don't know if you share my assessment that the current vectors of the Antonio Brown saga are not headed in a good direction, and it keeps looking like something that is sending all of the alarms out of something that is not going to end well. And I'm wondering who is left to care about and for Antonio Brown, and perhaps more importantly, some of the people around him, the people accusing him, the people involved in his life.
I hate to speculate on someone's mental health, because unless we're that person or someone close to them, we don't know. There's always a chance that he's perfectly fine, he's just a complete and total jerk. But to the extent that he has a health condition that requires treatment and evaluation and care, it's a sad situation, because the thing that is causing him these problems, that brain, that's the brain that has to consciously decide, I'm going to get help. And how do you make the decision, I'm going to get help, when your brain is impaired by whatever health condition it is for which you need help? And it quickly becomes the dog chasing his tail. Drew Rosenhaus fired him last week in the hopes that that would be the wake-up call. Where's the moment that Antonio Brown bottoms out, acknowledges he needs help, and goes and gets it, instead of constantly blaming everyone else, constantly finding fault, constantly thinking he's in the right. I mean, he's currently locked himself in his house to avoid this battery investigation against a moving truck driver that Brown and another guy are accused of beating up. Like, this does not feel like it's moving in the right direction, and I feel badly for him, and I wish there was someone who could get his attention, but I don't think there is, and that's the tragedy of all of this. And I think it's common to these types of things. If he does have a mental health condition, you have to get through to the person whose brain is impaired that brain needs to consciously choose to go get help.
Mike Florio, thank you as always.
See you guys.
Mike Florio brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. As predicted, a brutal cold and flu season is here. The number one flu symptom is fever, so use a thermometer proven accurate by more than 80 clinical studies. Make sure your family's prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Learn more at Exergen.com. And I was the guy stomping all over the house last night looking for a thermometer because my
kids under
the weather were passing stuff around. Like, I found what I found. Like, how many times do I have to read this to finally go get one of these for the house? Or they can send me one. That'd be nice, too.
Well, I'm glad you got a fix. No chance it was the Bulls and their recent play making the young lad sick?
I can tell you, tonight's game would be one to do it.
Okay, wondering if that was the case. We're going to talk with Rick Bucher, Radio.com, NBA Insider is coming up. Insider? That's not a thing. You can't get that job. That's a tough job to get. Rick Bucher is coming up next. Prince McKnight on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's been very difficult. If y'all saw me meditating on the sidelines during the games, it's been very difficult, but it's finally here. I finally get to go back out there.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Sunday when they host Ohio State. Tip-off set for 5:30 p.m. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. The voice of Zion Williamson. He's a story right now in the NBA. Here to talk about that and more is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Rick Bucher. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. You can hear Rick on Scal and Pals, a brand-new NBA podcast out now on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Just search Scal. Rick joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. So we finally get to see one of the more unique athletes that's ever taken the floor in the NBA. What do you expect?
I'm keeping my expectations very low because, honestly, we have seen it. We saw it in Summer League, and that wasn't a great debut. And I don't know that there's going to be anything that's going to be dramatically different. Is he an electric player? Athletically, absolutely. Is he better skilled than maybe I gave him credit for coming out? Yeah, he's shown me some things in a little bit that we've seen. But in terms of not having played all this time, trying to get up to NBA speed and the way the game's played, and the Pelicans being just, you know, a little, they've solidified themselves, but they're certainly not a juggernaut by any means. I just, again, I feel like the hype, it just is creating a situation for him that he can't possibly live up to. I don't know if we're still talking about him in the, you know, as the next LeBron James. I felt that that was a mistake from the beginning. But in any event, he's a dynamic, athletic player. And that's about it right now. So the idea that he's going to come in and he's going to orchestrate the Pelicans to a playoff spot is just based on what we've seen and what I know about the Pelicans, I think we're putting too much on the kid's plate.
As we get closer and closer to the All-Star game, a lot of conversation here in town is about Zach LaVine and whether or not he should or shouldn't be an All-Star. I'm more concerned at this point about whether teams would come calling for Zach LaVine and whether there should be some conversation about the Bulls trading the biggest point getter on the squad. What say you?
That's an interesting thought, because certainly when he was signed to that contract, everybody, you know, questioned, well, they're overpaying Zach LaVine, and now it's based on the numbers that have been thrown out there and what Zach has done, he looks like a bargain. But, you know, the difficulty is from the Bulls' end of things. Okay, so you're going to move Zach LaVine. He's showing that he could potentially be that go-to guy on a team. He has been electric. What are you getting back? Can this fan base really endure?
Yes.
Another, you know, extending the rebuild even further and throwing out there? Because
if there's more sweeping changes, the answer is absolutely yes. If they launch this clown coach and get some other eyes on the whole operation from the top.
Well, but how is moving Zach connected with that?
Because he's of value, and he's also now putting on an individual show where if you watch him every night, it becomes clearer that he's playing a game that isn't necessarily connected to that of his teammates.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I buy that. And I do watch the Bulls a lot because growing up in Cincinnati, the Bulls were kind of the closest team to me. And so there's a part of me that wants to see them get back and be meaningful. I think it would be good for the NBA. For what they have and for as young as they are, and let's face it, for the opportunity for Zach to demonstrate that he is an all-star and that he can be this go-to guy. I don't agree with the premise that he's an isolationist. Do they have to hand the ball to him in a lot of situations and allow him just to try to go get it? Without question. But is he being, you know, overtly selfish, or can he not fit into a team system? I disagree with that idea. I think that he can, and I think that, you know, whatever their issues are, it's not because there's a disconnect between Zach and the rest of the team. I think they just need to grow up collectively as a team. And that goes for the coaching staff, too.
I think on a good team, he must exist without the ball sometimes. And he can get wherever he wants on the floor, and he can take these soaring forays to the rim or do whatever he wants to do, finding a three-pointer. And it's all contingent on him having the ball. And you end up with some of these my-turn possessions that are irrespective of score or situation.
Yeah, I feel as if you look at their team right now, they don't have a true point guard. If they had a true point guard, I have no doubt that Zach LaVine could operate off the ball. But a large reason why the ball is in his hands in so many need situations is because you don't have a quote-unquote playmaker at the point guard position, or, you know, with some teams with the Paul Georges and the LeBron Jameses, where you have a point forward. They don't have that. They don't have that playmaker. And so it becomes a matter of, all right, if we need something, let's put the ball in Zach's hands and let's see what he can get. And he actually ends up being the primary playmaker in those situations. From seeing his game, I have no reason to believe that he could not be effective playing off the ball. But they need that guy who is able to set that up and then diversify and hit Zach when he's available, hit Markkanen when he's available. But they don't have that in Kobe. Kobe's a scoring point guard. Satoransky is he's sort of the Alex Smith, the manager, the system manager. And Chris Dunn is a great defensive point guard, but people are going to lay off him when he shoots and let him shoot. And so that makes things challenging for him. So I think what you're seeing from Zach is from a need standpoint and not because of the construct of this team and not because he's not capable of being a two guard and blending in with a more diversified offense.
I wish we were both general managers so I could trade him to you.
Okay, what would I have to give you back? Because I will say this, with everything that has happened this year, with the tumult or the discord between him and Jim Boylan at the beginning of the year, the way Zach has approached everything, and honestly, the way this locker room has approached everything, as young as they are, as bad of a step out of the gate as they got, as much as they've lost games the season has not gone the way that they've wanted it to go, and yet I still see a team that is fighting. And look, being what, I don't know, 10 plus games under 500, and the fact that they haven't let go of the rope. There's some other teams out there that are letting go of the rope, and they haven't. And I'm going to give Zach credit for growing up. He was a year ago, he was, I would say, a very immature player. We've watched him grow up. And how old is he? I mean, he's still got plenty of time. So I'll take him.
Okay.
You know, the difficulty is with where he is. Is that you're probably, I mean, if I gave you a protected first round pick, would you take it?
I'd have to know the protections, and I would need a lot more than that. My asking price right now, with the where his arrow is pointed in the eyes of many right now, I'm starting a lot higher than that.
Okay, well, all right. So you're taking a potential, let's say, top 15 first round pick. You're taking that for Zach LaVine.
We're going to have to make the money work, though, because I mean, that's a big number. So
okay, but aside from that, I'm just saying I'm going to give you a top 15 first round pick.
Okay, we'll
figure out how we make the money work. Can you go and draft a Zach LaVine? Because I'll tell you what, the athleticism and the shooting, the combination of being able to shoot from three. I don't think we have anything. We're not disputing that he can knock down threes, and he can knock down threes while knowing that he is the go-to guy.
True.
He can get to the cup. His shot selection has much improved. I think his defense has improved.
Ooh.
I mean, it can still get better, but it isn't for where it was last year. It has improved markedly. We can always sell hope with those first round picks. And at some point it's, can the guy play in the league? And I think Zach LaVine has demonstrated that he can play in the league. And I'd rather roll with a guy, the bird in hand than especially at this juncture of the Bulls development. I can't do with another, hey, we got another top pick. Zach LaVine is showing me that he can play, that he has promise. Does he have further to go? Without question. But there's enough there that I'm going to ride with that rather than roll the dice again in the lottery.
On another subject, lastly and real quickly, sometimes you think you've seen enough basketball to be certain of something. And I don't want to be out over my skis here, but I think that Luka Doncic is an all-time great player. I think it is possible that right now we're looking at maybe like a top 20, top 25 player ever in the history of the NBA when all is said and done.
The big question with him is going to be physically. How does he hold up? And the one question I have when we talk about that that realm, we're talking about a guy who can influence the game at both ends of the court.
Yep.
Now, he is a very smart defensive player. He gives you what he can. But athletically, like what I've seen teams do, Lakers have been very good at this, is that they will, and the Clippers same, they will try to beat him. They will attack him as much as possible at the defensive end of the floor and make him work and challenge him. And can he improve defensively? Can he defend his position? Can he be an influencer there? And can he survive the physical rigor? Because he's not a freak athlete.
That's fair. So you're not quite there yet. You're not quite certain. Okay.
Yeah. No. I mean, from an IQ standpoint, and does he have the killer instinct? Absolutely. Is he a leader? Absolutely. Can he make other guys better? And that's my number one thing for a superstar. Does he make the game easier for other guys? Without question, he does. But if we're talking top 20, 25 all time, then he's got to be a great, at least a good defensive player where you go, we're not going to attack him. We can't attack him. I mean, that's what it's, you know, for all that Steph Curry is, you look to attack him. And that's, and does Doncic, you know, physically, if you find this, the right position for him defensively, I think there's a way to find that avenue. But they haven't found it yet.
I think that's fair. Rick, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. We're going to have to get you on the phone again. We'll hash out the details of that trade between you and Dan.
We're all over it. Yes.
Okay. My people will call your people. Thanks.
Sounds good. See ya.
Rick Bucher, radio.com sports NBA insider.
Some good stuff, man. That's a difference of opinion. You guys worked it out a little bit. I think he's got some points. I think you've got some points. That's a legit NBA discussion.
Don't get us started. He's a Jim Boylan fan. Remember last time we were arguing about that as well?
I am still picking my jaw up off the floor. Yeah, I remember.
We have the midday midway coming up. I have the from yesterday I mentioned, a hero for our times. And I have the official terrorist leader of the I'm Fat podcast. If you were in the market for a terrorist leader, we've got him for you.
You know you are. We got some local news as well. The Midday Midway's on the way. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
It is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is date. Text date to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword date to 72881. A randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour is going to win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. This has been a lively show so far. We talked about a lot of things. The Hall of Fame voting. We had an angry Ed Lover from...
so angry.
From 104.3 Jams, the morning host, the former UMTV Raps host and longtime... Yankee fan was very, very angry this morning about that one voter that didn't vote for Derek Jeter. We had him on to vent. Not Derek Jeter, Ed Lover. And we talked about the Blackhawks and what happened last night.
We did?
The TV broadcast kind of didn't go quite
off,
right.
A little off.
Mike Florio and then some fun disagreements, a little debate with Rick Bucher.
If you are an NBA fan, a Bulls fan, I would use the radio.com app to go back and listen to that because there was a good back and forth. I just let him have it. Rick and Dan go back and forth a little bit on Zach LaVine. Yeah. I thought it was a really good, like a decent, solid conversation.
You get an out-of-market take on the Bulls, and you do have to admit they do stick together to beat bad teams. Like they likely will tonight for the most part.
They're
generally able to get the wins they should get against teams with lesser records than they have.
Yeah. Saw this. You know, we follow minor league baseball as best we can here on the show. You know the Frontier League, right?
Yeah,
of course. It's the Windy City Thunderbolts, the Schaumburg Boomers, the Joliet Slammers, and formerly the Florence Freedom. They have renamed the ball club. Florence is in Kentucky. Florence, Kentucky.
In northern Kentucky.
They play at UC Health Stadium. The capacity is 4,500. They have one of the finest minor league base. Granted, it's independent league. They have renamed themselves after a fan vote as the Florence Yalls.
Y apostrophe A-L-L-S.
They are now the Yalls.
I actually know why. There's a story behind this.
First, let me just tell you, the logo, and I'll tweet it, the logo is terrific. It follows in a line of baseball logos that have kind of the baseball in it. The Y has like a hook in the bottom, and the baseball is in there. The apostrophe is a star instead. It's kind of old school 80s Phillies colors, red, white, kind of like a pale blue sort of thing going on. Really good logo, great team name, the Yalls.
Well, you know why? The famous water tower in town for years said Florence Mall. And there was a legal dispute as to whether or not the water tower was allowed to advertise the Florence Mall or whether or not it was a civic-owned structure that was then advertised. So they were forced by, after a court judgment, to cover up the word mall.
Really?
With a tarp. And then they changed it. Some wag in city government, instead of the water tower, says Florence, y'all.
I did not know that.
And that's the joke.
We're going to need a y'all's hat,
cool.
Right?
Cool.
That y'all's hat.
A passenger waiting for a flight at an Oregon airport needed a bit more screen space for his video game, so he plugged his PlayStation 4 into a computer screen that had been displaying a map of the airport. Kara Simons, a spokeswoman for the Port of Portland, told KXL AM Radio in an on-air interview that Portland International Airport staff asked the man to stop gaming on the public map display. So, now I ask you, anybody who is a parent, what did the man say in response?
I just got to save first.
He said, can he finish the game?
Yeah, all right.
And they said no, and the situation resolved peacefully. Apparently, it's a very polite and cordial interaction, a good reminder of what not to do at the airport. No word on whether or not the passenger made it to the next level.
Top
that's,
notch.
That's some balls right there.
Well done.
Need a screen? There's a screen, whether it's arrivals, departures, the map, emergency procedures, the defibrillator, whatever, hook it up.
You know we love local news on the Midday Midway, so I will just say this from Florida.
Winter temperatures have frozen iguanas. They're actually falling out of trees in South Florida.
Yeah, we've seen this kind of thing before. Obviously, when temperatures start dipping, the iguanas in South Florida, they can't really hang, so they literally just kind of fall right out of the trees. Now, the animals may look dead, but experts are saying they are just really could be stunned by the cold weather, obviously because they're cold-blooded animals. So sometimes, Justin Bruce, as we've learned, once they're out in the sun, they could sort of snap back a little bit.
They can weigh 20 pounds.
That iguana can't hang. That's me at Scorehouse.
You don't want one of those falling on your head. And here's the thing. Pick them up and eat them.
The iguana?
Eat them, yeah, make stew.
Well, they're not dead.
Kill them and eat them.
But they're not dead. They have a chance. They should have a chance.
But no, they want you to.
The iguanas want to die. They're leaping into stew.
No, local officials really are urging people. It's open season on iguanas. When I was just down in Boca recently, they're everywhere. They're out sunning themselves near the canals and on bridges near the roads. The monitor lizards, we were just out. They're big iguanas everywhere. Huh. And if you get an opportunity now to get them out of your yard, they fall out of the trees. Yeah.
There was actually a tweet from the Weather Service, the National Weather Service, falling iguanas possible tonight. I'm gonna put that out.
I love the story was everywhere, but the New York Post version wins. He put the fat in fatwa. A morbidly obese ISIS fanatic dubbed Jabba the Jihadi has been captured by Iraqi forces who loaded him onto a flatbed truck because he couldn't fit in a police car.
Same.
The Jumbo Jihadist.
Oh my God.
Was known Moore.
Jay, you have to tweet this with the show
account. Was known for provocative speeches against the security forces.
And provocative poses.
Is considered one of the top leaders of ISIS gangs. The 560-pound mufti, Abu Abdul Bari, also known as Shifa al-Nima, was nabbed by an elite SWAT team of the Nineveh Regiment in the city of Mosul, according to Stars and Stripes.
The slowest-moving SWAT attack of all time.
They kept their plans under his stomach.
They had to bring out the cart. And were you saying, oh my God, is it the picture of him on the carpet leaning against the wall?
Yes, I just tweeted a photo for an Bernstein and McKnight Twitter.
Oh, that's
those poor pants.
Look, man, like I said, the official terrorist leader of the I'm Fat podcast.
do they just plop him in a road, like the main way to get out of town so people can't leave?
I mean, that is, you know what he is?
Snorlax?
He's fat goalie. That's the guy that tests the theory right there. Get that
they
guy in pads.
They also have to toss him the fish like the walrus in the commercial.
That's what I mean. But I'm saying to get some Vaughn velocities on that guy's legs.
Your guy, Mr. Creosote.
Terry Jones, Sky Point. What's on that whopper fin? That's a thing there,
that's
boy.
Top notch. We've retweeted that. That's perfect. Follow it, Bursty McKnight.
That's 560 if that's a pound.
Oh, that's absolutely it. That is also the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Go look at us on Twitter. It's fantastic. You'll love the photo. Take a break from work. You can also catch Hub Arkish in just a couple. We're going to talk Bears. We're going to talk football. Hub is next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.